This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, our first guest in the Power Hour, as I mentioned, now tied with Dan Radakovich for the most appearances by ADs on the leaderboard. It's at six. So you got Wild Hack Radakovich at red six, or in this particular case, orange six.
Yeah, red
but
six.
It's always good to have six, John on because he is incredibly insightful on so many different areas, not to mention television, which we'll get into. And with that said, Mr. Wild Hack, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you? And if I'm tied, it's the only thing I'm tied with Dan in is six appearances on your show, believe me.
Well, let me tell you something, though. I am now wearing the John Wild Hack collection shirt today. So you and I, Radakovich hadn't hooked me up yet on the shirt. So I've got the same shirt you got on today. So we're styling. I got that going.
Well, Wes, what's up with you, Wes? Come on now.
I thought I was wearing orange, John. John, I thought I was wearing orange. What are we doing here?
I'm not sure it's the right shade, but you're getting close. You're getting close. But Pack and I we're styling today.
That's exactly how we roll on that bad boy. All right, let's go with a serious question before we get into all kinds of stuff. Lacrosse is a big deal. A big deal at Syracuse. Great tradition, great history, men and women, great programs. But this Chase Scanlon situation, John, you got to deal with a thousand things all the time. What can you tell us with the latest regarding Scanlon, the lacrosse team, and how we're going to move forward here?
Yeah, Mark, I'm very limited what I could say. There's, federal law mandates that any student, just not student athlete, their record at a university is a private matter. Coach Desko addressed it yesterday. His Chase has been reinstated to the team. He practiced, he did individual work yesterday. He will not travel to Notre Dame, and that's where we stand as of this morning.
John, the last thing anybody wants, John Desko or anybody else at this point of the year, is the distraction of stuff like this. How important for those guys to stay focused, because they got a lot on the table. I mean, we have found out very quickly this spring, men's and women's lacrosse in this league is the real deal. So I know they want to minimize distractions as much as they can on their way to postseason.
Well, you're right, Wes, and it's been a good week of practice. The team has been focused. They played very well last week at Virginia, a great win for us against a top five team. You've got to be ready for any ACC game because it's really a national championship caliber game because you've got five schools that all have a reasonable chance of not only making the Final Four but winning the national championship. So you have to put distractions aside. But distractions also, they're not unique to this program. They're not unique to this sport. It happens throughout college sports, and it's up to the leadership. It's up to the coaching staff, the captains, and we have very good captains, good senior leadership, to focus the team and understand the goal that they have. And many of those seniors came back for an additional year. They came back because they wanted to pursue a national championship. And now, as we turn the book into May, we're at championship month.
Mm-hmm. There were reports that some of those players were going to meet with you about the situation. Can you comment about did that meeting occur, and was that your message to them, I'm guessing?
It did occur, and it was a very good conversation, very, very cordial conversation, very substantive conversation. I have a lot of respect for those five five guys. And yeah, that was one of my messages to them. And again, they're good leaders and they're good young men.
John, as far as lacrosse goes, Wes and I have kind of fallen in love with it because really we didn't get a chance to talk about it last spring after the network had launched. And lo and behold, it doesn't matter if you're watching a men's match, women's match, the league is ridiculous as far as top 10 teams, top five teams, the quality of athletes, the depth, the physicality, the speed, the scoring. And I know the feedback that we're getting from fans is, man, this is awesome. And now if you grew up in that kind of environment and you're used to lacrosse, it's like, hey, where have you guys been? But this sport, I think, is just opening up doors. In fact, it's just crashing doors and knocking stuff down, going, hey, you got to embrace this sport because it is so good. And this league, John, and again, you've been tied into Syracuse forever and ever. It is crazy the intensity level of these matches consistently, game in, game out, men, women, it doesn't seem to matter. The league is just fantastic.
Every game is a championship caliber game, and I don't think that's an overstatement. Every game is a championship caliber game. And I think one of the things, I was talking to Bubba Cunningham at the NCAA tournament, it was the night before our opening game, and we were talking about this year with lacrosse, is this might be the best year ever for college lacrosse in the ACC, because you have seniors, right, who came back, super seniors, to come back for that extra year, as we've had here, but also other schools as well. The Ivy League not playing, so you've had great transfers of Michael Sowers to Duke, obviously one of the great players, offensive players in the country. So the quality of play in this conference at both the men's and the women's level is really at an all-time high. And it almost, it reminds me of the days when college basketball, when your superstar stayed for 3 and 4 years. Mm. And that's the quality of play that we're seeing. Mm. And it's a great sport. It's fast. It's physical. It's high scoring, both men's and women's. You know, this is, you know, this is not a sport for the faint of heart. You're elite athletes play this sport. And really, it's exploded nationally in the past 15 years. And I think this spring, and I really give you guys and I give the ACC Network so much credit for the coverage you've given in the quarterfinals yesterday, the women's quarterfinals, the Thursday night series with men's lacrosse. Great games, great competition. That's going to continue, Mark, to your point, to explode the growth of the sport nationally.
I want to follow up, and I kind of wanted to go to your previous life here a little bit. Seemingly, when you do things like ACC Network or other networks, sports, whatever it is, entertainment channels, albeit, something always germinates out of it. Is lacrosse got the best chance to be one of those type events that people around the footprint, whether their institution has the sport or not? We do know from conversations with athletes that you have and other institutions, this is a national sport now from coast to coast. It just seems like lacrosse is one of those things that can build and kind of become a bigger part of what we're doing here as a channel as well, if not other ESPN and the relationship nationally too.
Well, Wes, I agree with your point. I do think lacrosse is a sport, and because of the ACC Network platform and ACC Network Extra too, right, the streaming platform, is the increased exposure due to the ACC Network has been dramatic. And when fans and young people, young men and, you know, young men and young women can see this game at the high school level, see it televised nationally, see the quality of play that that we have at the ACC level, yes, I think it can really accelerate that growth exponentially.
John, every state's operating at a different pace. Only getting back to the flow of everyday life. Dino Babers was on with us yesterday and talked about, and he just can't wait for the fans to get back to see the Dome for the first time and just to play and get to feed off that energy, which was certainly lacking in sports in the last 13 to 14 months. What can you tell us about where you are as far as planning for the fall and beyond as far as fans are concerned?
Mark, where we are, and I've stressed this to our staff several times, is we are planning in a very aggressive mode that we can have a full stadium in the fall, that we can have a full dome. Mm. Now, there's still a lot to be accomplished, and obviously anything that we do is going to be at the approval of state and local health authorities. But when you see the vaccination rates increase, when you see the positivity rates for COVID stay as low as they've been in our area, you see that the governor has slowly increased attendance capacity limits in both outdoor and indoor arenas. So we're planning for a full stadium. We're doing the preparation in advance of that. One of the things that we did is when we did the renovation is we put an air filtration system in there that is absolutely as good as any in the world in terms of the circulation of air, bringing in fresh air, circulating that. Air conditioning just got completed this week in the building. So it's a totally different building from that perspective, which I think is going to be a very important perspective as we look towards the fall and our quest to have a full dome.
All right. Now, let me also add, too, that's not just an important development during the pandemic. That's an important development in the month of September, that there's
air conditioning
and things moving throughout the dome. Yes. Yes, because nothing was quite as unique from a humidity standpoint as the dome in September.
Now, there's only one person, guys. There's only one person who's not happy that we have air conditioning in the dome.
Yeah.
And you know who he is.
We talked to him yesterday.
He was on your show yesterday.
Yeah, no, we had him on yesterday.
And Dino's always on me. John, not, you know, don't turn that on too high now. I said, Coach, don't worry. It'll still be nice and warm on the field.
I want to switch gears on you.
Go
ahead, Wes. Go ahead, broadcaster, because I know the broadcasting crew wants to say something about that too.
No, this is. Let me just also say this, John. That will take you back to if you kind of finagle the AC. Packer knows exactly where I'm going here. Lefty Drizel used to swear at Carmichael Auditorium that Dean Smith turned the heat up in the visiting locker room, and he had a separate system for heat in the visiting locker room when Maryland played at Carmichael, because Lefty would walk in and go, well, Dean had the heat up to about 90 when we walked in there. So if Babers wants to be that guy, and you've now put him on notice. Now, you've already said my football coach doesn't want air conditioning, so you know the first team that walks in there and doesn't feel like there's air conditioning in the dome, they're going to look across the field and go, it's that guy over there.
Well, that's a page right out of the old Red Auerbach, right? In the old
that's
Boston
right.
Guard guys. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly
you know, in the winter
right.
months, you know, the hot water in the showers just didn't work. You know, May and June when it was 80 degrees, 85 degrees, the cold water didn't work. No air conditioning. So, you know, we'll see. You know, sometimes you do have a little mechanical difficulties now and then, but we'll see.
Hey, there's such a thing as a home field advantage. Get over it. I mean, man up a little bit, right? That's part of the deal.
That's it.
It's part of the deal.
We'll make sure in your booth that it's climate controlled and you tell us what temperature you want to set at, and it'll be set exactly at that.
I want to switch gears on you. Even though it does involve the dome, my next question. One of the most inspirational student athletes in this league. Played for Syracuse, and that would be Tiana. When you're known by just a name, you know you're somebody. John, there's been a lot of speculation about retiring Tiana's jersey and putting it up in the rafters of the dome. Where is that? Is that just media conversation? Is that a possibility? What's the protocol there?
It's media conversation at this point. I do think at some point it's an inevitability. I think at some point, given everything that she accomplished on and off the court. We have a very small but select committee that is evaluating our jersey retirement policy. We want to and we will honor some of our great former female student athletes who played in the dome. I also want to honor some of our former student athletes, both men's and women's, who didn't play in the dome, but other sports, but who excelled at a high level too, and figure out a way that we can recognize their accomplishments in the dome as well. So there's a lot of work being done. You've got to do this, I think, very thoughtfully and carefully. And that's what we want to do, because we've got players, you know, who were here 10, 15, 20 years ago, that tremendous accomplishments, what they did on and off the court. Obviously, more present tense is what Tiana's done. As I said, you know, to me, it's when that she's recognized. But she's an inspiration to all of us. I got to know her well in her time here. Now she's with Phoenix. I hope she gets an opportunity in the WNBA, being the competitor that she is. As hard as she's worked to get back to where she can play at an elite level is remarkable. And it says so much about her character, her determination and her commitment and her love for basketball.
I want to finish with, at least from my perspective, on Saturday and a big event that's going to take place involving your Hall of Fame basketball coach, who apparently, according to him, has two hairs on the tail of a horse that if it were the NCAA tournament, it would be 68th in the field. What role of support have you played with your basketball coach in the venture of Hidden Stash, who will compete in the Kentucky Derby on Saturday?
Well, the answer is none. So good luck. Now here's the deal though. Here's the deal, guys. Let me clarify this. The 50-1 odds are not to win the Kentucky Derby. It's 50-1 odds to finish the race.
I got $5. It says
that's the
horse
two hairs on the tail. So we'll see where those two hairs finish and if they finish.
You know what, John?
But it'll be a fun day for him and for Adam Weitzman, who's his co-owner of the horse, and they'll have a really good time. The Derby's an incredible event. It's one that everybody, if they have the opportunity in their lifetime, they should go witness in person because it's remarkable.
Listen, you're now speaking my language, John. I know it doesn't really affect you, but I have been preaching for God knows, maybe over a year, that this show should be in Louisville the week of the Derby. Just saying. What a great cross promotion.
Yeah.
Pac, I think you got to talk to your producers. I like the idea. By the way, we got to get you guys back up here, too.
I'm all for it.
We had you guys up here in the early days. We should get you back for a football game this fall. We'd love to have you.
Hey, by the way, speaking of visits, you've got an important one tomorrow with the new commissioner, Mr. Phillips, making an appearance, right? That's going to be a big deal.
Yes. Yes, and we're thrilled to have the commissioner on campus. He's visiting all 15 campuses, as you know. And Jim is, it's very difficult to follow a legend. And John Swofford is a legend in what he did. But Jim has come in with tremendous enthusiasm, tremendous energy. He's worked very hard to get to know everyone. I think his learning curve has not been as steep because he's an athletic director for so long. I think it kind of helps the ACC that he was in the Big Ten and saw with Jim Delaney, who's one of the best who ever did it, and what Jim did for the Big Ten. So we're really excited to have the commissioner on campus tomorrow. And he's going to meet our student-athletes, some of our student-athletes from every team, our senior staff. He's going to tour some of our facilities. So when he gets on the plane tomorrow night to go back to Greensboro, he'll be tired.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. I want to just say one more thing.
No,
every time I've seen a video or pictures of the new commissioner visiting ACC, and he said he was going to do his listening tour, which I thought was really smart. But I tell you what, I've been impressed with Commissioner Phillips' ability to find ties that have tied into all the school colors. So when he gets off that plane up there at Syracuse, he better be sporting not the West Durham orange. He better have the right orange tie going tomorrow. I'm just saying, because he's done a great – he's been impeccable with his tie game on these visits.
Well, if he's off by a little bit, I've got plenty of ties in my office so I can correct him. So we'll make sure he's good. But we really look forward. It'll be a really good day. And I'm most excited that he's going to meet with student-athletes, representatives from all our teams, and our head coaches who aren't either at the Kentucky Derby or on the road competing.
I love it. Good seeing you again, as always. Continued success.
Thanks, guys.
John,
appreciate everything you do for the conference. Thank you.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Jordan Cornette just tweeted, the NFL draft really snuck up on us.
Thank goodness we get that started tonight. Seriously. We need to get that thing started. ASAP. Let's see, another mock draft. I'm going to jump from the balcony.
Oh, I thought Drew Brooks and I were going to get together and do a mock draft for you. Anyway, all right, let's jump to one of the really good stories that'll be told this weekend is Amari Rodgers. Of course, he had an ACL injury at Clemson, came back a season ago, and then last year he and Cornell Powell really set the vertical game in place for Dabo Swinney. He spent 4 years there. The injury really was a testament to his work ethic and his comeback and his commitment to getting better. A mindset very much like a pro football player. Here's Dallin Cuff.
I feel kind of special, bro.
Why?
Because I'm the first mic'd up, and like, I don't know how long.
They mic you up right now?
Yeah.
Wants to throw on first down. We'll take a shot. Wide open is Rodgers, and he's gone. Just like that, Clemson takes the lead.
Dude just works super hard and really just prepares like a pro.
Every single day at the practice. Every single day. He's getting some extra at the practice.
Just got a good lift in, but the work's not done yet. Doing some balanced work, you know, that's key for a receiver. So always got to put in that extra work. So let's get it.
He's just so dedicated and so committed to creating every edge that he possibly can with his technique, his fundamentals, his body. He carries himself like an all-pro.
Game reps. Ground on me. Ground on three. One, two, three.
Ground on me.
Woo,
That was NFL kick, boy.
I take every single day like I'm at the next level at the NFL. Because, you know, the best of the best, they work every single day. They don't take any days off. They don't take any reps off.
Once Rodgers, touchdown!
Football is in Amari Rodgers' blood. His father, T. Martin, won a national championship as the Tennessee quarterback in 1998.
As a kid, he just remembered people were asking for my name. And he goes, one day, Dad, they're going to ask me for my name one day. And I looked at him, I was like, you know, son, they will. You know, you're going to be better than me.
He's helped me mentally a lot, and especially, you know, sticking it out, you know, earlier in my career with me, you know, not getting the opportunities that I wanted.
After a slow start as a freshman, Rodgers had a big sophomore season in 2018, finishing second on the team in catches and third in receiving yards behind only Justin Ross and T. Higgins. The following year, Rodgers appeared to face a major setback when he tore his ACL in the spring. But he worked to recover and returned after just 166 days, remarkably missing only the first game of the 2019 campaign.
Amari Rodgers breaks the tackle and gets the first down and much more. Touchdown, Clemson. How much has Clemson been waiting for Rodgers to come back and make plays like this?
You know, he did have some times of doubt. He did have some times of uncertainty.
Just telling me to stick with it. And you know, if you stick with it, at the end, you're going to get the fruits of your labor.
Back left corner of the end zone for Amari Rodgers. And they do it again. Another Clemson touchdown.
One more.
Every Tuesday and Wednesday after practice, you know, I've been doing this since my freshman year. Just, you know, creating habits in my mind, you know, catch the ball out in the front and stuff like that. As much balls as I can catch, you know, that's how easy it is in the game for me. So just repetition.
This past season as a senior, and for the first time in his Clemson career, Rodgers led the Tigers in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdown catches.
My first 3 years, you know, I probably wasn't, you know, getting the ball or making the plays that I wanted to in my head. But, you know, I was still contributing to the team and helping the team win. So that, I feel like that helped build up to the year that I had this year.
Lawrence is going to go to the end zone, has a man caught. Touchdown, Amari Rodgers.
Wes, he's going to make an NFL team really, really happy. That dude is a worker, a grinder, and a terrific talent, and a great guy on top of it. Another guy that's really, really easy to root for.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. It's that time. To hand out some hardware. That's what we do. We are professional hardware handlers. That's what we do. We keep our mouths shut. We don't let out any secrets. We keep it low to the vest, close to the vest, until they say, all right, idiots, go ahead. Unload. So that's what we're going to do. Wes, you ready?
Oh, yeah. And you know what I like about this? We're going to talk about accomplishments here. But what do you always say about really good college golfers? They make everything they look at, and they can hit it a mile, and they got all the shots, right? They make everything they look at putting, right? Yep. That's right. They make everything. They just look at it and knock it in. So let's start with the coach of the year in women's golf in the ACC. Winner of his 21st ACC title. This is the 16th time that Dan Brooks has been named the ACC's Women's Golf Coach of the Year. Congratulations to Brooks. Duke is ranked number 2 by GolfStat. 16-time ACC Coach of the Year, 21 titles, Pack.
How good is that? Seriously. That's got to be a typo, right? No, that would not be a typo. That's called greatness is what that's called. Greatness, and he is a great coach with a tremendous program.
Unbelievable. Congratulations to Dan Brooks. The 2021 ACC Women's Golf Freshman of the Year comes from the University of Miami. It is Natalia Guseva of Miami, who was ranked 20th by GolfStat. She's got the fourth best stroke average in the ACC at 71.4, and she becomes the first Miami player to be honored so. So our congratulations to Natalia.
You know what?
71-4 as a freshman playing in this league.
Those photos that we just showed you, now you may not know anything about golf, but that was called perfect balance. That's when you know you're a player, when you got great balance. And every one of those photos, without even seeing where the ball went, you're like, you know what? She can play. She can play. She gets it.
Yep.
Again, the talent in this league is crazy good.
Tell the truth. And now we get the honor of announcing the ACC Women's Golf Player of the Year. Number 3 in the country by Golf Week in Sagarin. Number 9 by Golf Stat. The highest ranked ACC player in either poll. And it is Beatrice Wallen. She led the ACC with a 70.3 stroke average in 6 events this spring. She won twice and finished top 5 in the other 4 and top 10 in 5 of the 6. Beatrice, a native of Sweden, is the ACC's Player of the Year. And as luck would have it, we go to Tallahassee and there is the ACC Player of the Year. Just like we had television magic set up, Pac.
Timing is everything, right? Beatrice, first of all, welcome to the show and congratulations. I know it's been a crazy year. Unbelievable success, great consistency. So what's the secret? Because we got a lot of folks up in Bristol, Connecticut, listening right now, waiting to take notes on how to play the game of golf. So what's the secret in being so consistent?
I don't know. I guess just practice. Practice hard and a lot.
That does it. There's some truth to that.
Beatrice, as Mark said, this has been a different year. A different year to get to events, a different year in terms of schedules. What's been the biggest challenge for you to continue the success you've had at Florida State in this unique landscape?
I guess staying motivated, because obviously we didn't know if we were going to play any events or how many events. So just like staying motivated and practice, even if you don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, it's been it's been different, but it's also been a lot of fun because we get to practice a lot with the team. And also in the fall, we got to challenge the boys, the men's team, which was a lot of fun. So coach made it a lot of fun, even if it was a weird semester.
You know, that men's team's pretty good too now. They're ranked number 2 in the country and had a tough loss at match play in the ACC championship. So from that perspective, you know, I know great players love competition. Men, women, doesn't matter. I'm sensing you are thriving on competition, aren't you? You love it.
Yeah, I love it. It's so much fun, especially playing against the boys, because obviously none of us want to lose. So it gets really a lot of fun and a little, yeah.
So, like, do you go up to John Pack and say, "All right, big man, let's go. We're going to take it from the back tees here." I mean, how does that work? Because I mean, he's only the number 1 ranked amateur player on that side. So again, I know how good both teams are here. So how does that work when you look him right in the eye and say, "All right, let's go. I'll play for a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Let's go play."
I mean, you should ask him. I mean, I won one of the matches when we played 18 holes in the fall. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, they're like, the men's team are super nice and we spend a lot of time with them. So it's a lot of fun.
Now, you don't remind John when you run into him, do you? Like, hey, big man, hey, guess what? You're dealing with the player of the year over here. So I mean, you don't remind him though, do you?
No, but I should.
I love it.
Beatrice, when you came to Tallahassee from Sweden, and look, I'm not breaking news here. There are tons of talented people who have played golf, who grew up in Sweden, who have come to the United States. I mean, Annika Sorenstam being one. I guess Madeline Sangstrom is one of the top players on LPGA right now who's from Sweden. We know the influence on the men's tour. But still, that process has to take place. So what's that been like for you to come to the States, go to school, be a part of a successful program, and certainly be looking ahead to what professionally could be out there for you?
I think it's been a huge step, both like as a golfer and as me as a person. I was very shy in the beginning, and my English wasn't comfortable speaking English. So a lot of change during these 3 years, which is great. And I like being here. I can see myself staying here for a long, long time. And I enjoyed the weather. It's so much better than cold Sweden. And we get to practice a lot, which I really like. And competing all over the country, it's been, I feel really lucky and thankful.
Beatrice, with all your success and playing with the guys, again, Florida State's men's team, I emphasize again, the number two ranked team in the country. What part of your game do you think you have to work on the most as far as the next level goes?
My short game, for sure. I'm not very comfortable hitting those flop shots or like just shots around the green. So I've been practicing that on my short game, and I need to spend a lot of more time doing that.
All right, so now here's the Louisville Regional coming up. You guys are going to be one of, I guess it's 8 ACC teams that are in the NCAA championship. Having gone through the ACC championship at Sedgefield a couple weeks ago, obviously the stakes get a lot higher. But and Mark and I talk about this with other golfers, both men's and women's, and coaches too, Beatrice. There is the individual nature of the game and the team concept of the game. How do you guys get ready then for what is obviously the national championship?
I think we're just going to keep doing what we do, practice on our own game and then play a lot. And just, I mean, it's a great team and we get along so well, and it's a lot of fun traveling with all of them. So I'm really looking forward to playing regionals and hopefully nationals too. So I feel like we all are super excited, and we're kind of like a young team with three freshmen, and it's just going to be fun to see what they think about regionals and nationals. So hopefully we'll get to experience both of them, and hopefully it will be a lot of fun.
Beatrice, I don't know where you're conducting this interview, whether it be in the coach's office or whatever, but over your right shoulder, looks like there's some golf bags up against the wall. What's going on over there? What's going on over there?
So this is like our team room launch kind of thing. And we have all these kind of tour bags from past Seminoles. We have Brooke Koepka and... I mean, a lot of different ones. Wow. Jonas Blixt, and yeah, it's a lot of fun to see that they succeed.
By the way, have you met? Have
it's you, really inspirational.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think so. Have you met Brooks Koepka yet or not?
No, I haven't.
You might need to. How many shots are you going to give him on the side? I mean, the way you're playing. Brooks has got one good knee.
John Pack, how many you giving Brooks?
You maybe say, hey Koepka, I know you got a couple majors over there. I might give you two aside, right?
I don't know about that.
He's a pretty good player.
Hey, Beatrice, a couple of years ago, back before we started the television version of this show, Mark and I got a chance to spend some time with Jennifer Kupcho at Wake Forest, who obviously won the very first Augusta Women's National Amateur. I want to ask you about that event too, because I know you've played in it. It seems to be such a wonderful stage for amateur golf in this country. And yet the ACC's already had success with Jennifer there. Take me through your experiences of being a part of a singular women's amateur event and kind of what it means to you to have played in both of them, I guess.
It's such an awesome event. It's a lot of fun, and they are really spoiling us. It's crazy, but it's a lot of fun. And just playing Augusta, sorry. It's so cool. And I have my brother as my caddy, and he was enjoying it. a lot. So just experiencing that with my brother and just playing such a nice course, like the other course we get to play is also super nice. And it's a tricky golf course, like both of them. But it's amazing. Like it's, you can't really describe it because it's so like big and it's a lot.
Was there a particular hole at Augusta National that you've probably watched on television 1,000 times that when you finally got to it, you went, wow, I'm standing on the tee or I'm on the green or I'm in the middle of the fairway of a particular hole? Was there something about Augusta National that you just kind of jumped out at you though for the first time when you saw it?
The course is a lot harder to walk than you think. But I really like hole number 16.
Par 3.
It's really cool.
Did you try skipping one across the lake? Did you in the practice round?
I did.
Mm-hmm. And did you pull it off?
I almost pulled it off. It was really close.
Nice. I tell you, you are living the life. You are living the life down there in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
I mean, yeah. No. Hey, look, I mean, think about it. You get to play Augusta National as one of the top women's amateurs. You're the ACC Player of the Year. For our point of our discussion here, you've taken 2 or 3 chicken sandwiches off John Pack in a head-to-head matchup. That's been kind of a win there.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, you're one of the nation's best golfers, and you guys are going to Louisville. Coach Bond's got a great team. I know you all are excited about the championship. Here's the last thing from me before Pack asks you probably the most important question of this interview. Jonas Blix is Sweden. He came to Florida State. Are we seeing an influence? Did he kind of pave the way for someone like yourself? Did you know him? Was that an influence in you arriving to Tallahassee? Because to be honest with you, I'm always intrigued by young people that take that leap of faith and come to college in this country from a foreign country and have great success. I think it's a great statement about kind of what we are. But how much a role did Blix play in maybe your arrival?
I don't know him. I knew that he went here and he liked it. But that was as far as that went. I actually visit a lot of different schools, and I have always wanted to come over here and try college out and play for a college team. But I didn't know him. I didn't speak to him. So it was kind of just visiting, and I got a great feeling for this place. So I just wanted to come over and start immediately.
It's been a win-win for both you and Florida State. All right, final question and the most difficult one.
Yep.
Beatrice, since you've been at Florida State University, what has been your hardest class?
I think it's been like a math class because I'm not into math. Like, I don't like it at all. And also, I had to take public speaking last semester, and it was nerve-wracking because I don't like to speak in front of people, and I'm not really comfortable doing it. But it helped me as a person and a golfer, so I'm kind of like grateful that I took that class. But it was a lot of nerves and anxiety before the speeches.
Well, let me tell you something. You did a great job in the interview, so obviously that class paid some dividends because you were great. You wore this out like John Pack on the back nine when it mattered. Big birdie putt. right? Math can't be hard for you. You just put 3 down on the scoreboard on every hole. Yeah, Beatrice, 3, 3, 3. I mean, come on. You're doing a great job. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
Thank you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the Power Hour. Final segment.
Making notes.
That's a good idea.
Making notes.
Is that for tomorrow's show? We have very important people on tomorrow's show.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, making a couple notes. We do have very important people on this show tomorrow. Ceremonial type show tomorrow. Drew Brooks will be here. He's always here. He's one of our producers. Drew will be talking us through some key elements of the Kentucky Derby as it relates to the Q Series and Jim Boeheim's horse Hidden Stash, which John Wildhack said earlier was 50-1 to finish.
To finish the race.
The race.
It's so, one of six horses at 50-1. One of six at 50-1.
That's right.
For the Derby this weekend.
Yeah. So we got that. Jim Clements, the president of Clemson, will be here. A ceremonial appearance for President Clements as Mark Packer concludes his out-of-state tuition commitment to Clemson University as his youngest daughter graduates next week. Is that right?
We will be in Clemson
and
Greenville, South Carolina next Wednesday and Thursday for the event. And we will be in Clemson again on Saturday for the post parties. We've been invited for that, too. So it's a busy road trip next week down I-85.
Yeah. Mike Brizendine will be here. He's the head men's soccer coach at Virginia Tech. He's been with us before. We look forward to having Coach back. Along with, if you missed this last year, the Q Series, Kentucky Derby style, tomorrow on Packer and Durham. But first, NFL draftees have appeared on the Packer and Durham show over the last couple of years, 374 of them. And so guys that will have their lives changed this weekend had to answer a class, which one has been the toughest?
I ask this question to every student-athlete. Since your time at the University of Virginia, at NC State, at the University of Louisville, what is the hardest class that you've ever had?
Ooh. That's a tough question.
They told me to be prepared for this. The thing is, the hardest class I ever had, I don't even remember the name of.
I'm not going to lie to you, probably Spanish.
Come on, stop. No, he got nothing. He got nothing. He got nothing.
I know one of my other teammates said that, and I didn't want to say that, but it's true.
Freshman and sophomore year, I was a mechanical engineer major.
I took this computer programming class. It was ridiculous.
Did a math class my sophomore year.
My finite math class.
That class was different.
He just made it so difficult for no reason, to be honest.
I just felt like the whole math was just in a different language.
He didn't use much numbers in the math class.
I switched to business, but
I had a public policy class last semester that really hurt me.
I had to do so many papers. So many papers, and the papers be real long. I don't know what you could talk about for 10 pages.
I did good, mom and dad. I did good in the class.
No question. Econ 101.
It taught me that econ is not in my future at all.
It's supply and demand. You demand the ball, Coach Mac supplies the ball, man, and off to the races we go. That's how it works. Give me the rock. That's Econ 101 right there. You know what I liked about that the
Unbelievable.
Most? You know what I loved about that the most? I noticed in the background right there at the very end, the Josh Cracker must have been around the holidays.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.